So I'm here for my first interview of the day with...
Al Samuels.
And we're going to talk about two shows. The first one, I mean, it's a sellout, isn't it? Baby Wants Candy.
Yeah, we've been very lucky so far. All the shows have sold out. Baby Wants Candy at George Square.
So two questions. Why does it sell out?
I think because we have an improvised show, first of all. So people like the show, knock on wood. They'll come back night after night. And I think it's just the right kind of show for the, especially for the fringe audiences. It's a really cool show. We improvise a full musical with a band, and so we take one suggestion and just create it on the spot. And the audience is really, it's an impressive feat. It all clicks together, and the audiences really seem to love the show, so they come back night after night. So we have a lot of repeat audiences. At the beginning, a lot of times we'll ask, you know, has anybody been to Baby Wants Candy before? And, you know, a good third of the audience will cheer, yeah. So it's funny.
And so bringing it back, you know, it's been here for a few years. How do you keep it fresh?
Well, we keep the cast constantly rotates, and we always challenge ourselves artistically. We're this sounds like an oxymoron, but we constantly are rehearsing. We're hoping to get our skills better and better. So the show hopefully gets tighter and tighter and tighter as we come back. And the musicians are just getting better and better all the time, too. So we play with a four-piece band, three of which are actually Scottish, three Scottish guys. So, and just by the nature of the show, it's fresh every night. So it's fresh for us. It's fresh for the audience.
And how does the group find new people to join it?
We have three feeder cities. So we have three groups in Chicago. I'm sorry, three groups in the States. We have one in Chicago, one in New York, one in Los Angeles. And the States is very, very big for improvisation. And kind of long, we call it long-form improvisation, where you're taking one suggestion or a minimum number of suggestions and creating a long show around it. And so there's a lot of people going through the system. And so from those three cities, we have our three groups, and then we take the best of those.
And then people might be surprised to hear, but you need to rehearse improv, don't you?
Yeah, you really do, because what you don't want to have happen is when suggestions get thrown out or somebody makes a move on stage, because during the show itself, you don't have any time to, there's no time to quote-unquote fix it. You have to just address it. On the other hand, the things that are quote-unquote mistakes are actually really some of the fun times. Like if something, one person thinks you're a different character that you have been playing in the show, and then that you suddenly have to play that character in that scene, it is really fun. Or you think you're playing a man, and suddenly someone calls you mom or says you're a woman. It's really fun to suddenly have to shift gears and play in that way. But yeah, you absolutely do need to rehearse.
And as improvisers, how do you wipe the slate clean? Because I guess every act of genius, everything that works that doesn't work goes into memory, and then you're on stage the next night. So is it okay to pull out what you've done before, or does it all just get suggested away and you wipe that slate?
Yeah, you would think, if I were on the outside, I would think, oh, come on, you must have go-tos and you must have things that you repeat all the time. And, you know, by the nature of actors and who you are and who we are, it you do probably have, there's certain kind of characters that you like to play maybe more often than others. On the other hand, it starts to feel very, it feels dirty, and it feels kind of not fresh to yourself, and then the audience kind of will pick up on it if you end up doing the same thing every night. So if we didn't keep it fresh and change it up for ourselves, then I think the audiences would pick it up and we would get really bored. Mm-hmm. We also, too, we really love mixing up. There's no plan beforehand about who's going to be the main character or, you know, what kind of story it's going to be told, and so by the nature of that, within our form, you never end up playing the same. You might play the lead one night, and the next night you're just going to play the kind of third wacky banana crazy janitor.
On stage, in front of hundreds of people with no script, is that good for the soul?
It can be amazing for the soul, and it can be crushing for the soul. And we've been doing it long enough that I think that we just focus on what's working and focus on having fun for ourselves and making ourselves laugh. And that seems to work really well. It seems to really respond to the audience. Because if not, you know, in the moment you might think something is really going to work and the audience either responds really well or doesn't respond really well. And if you let that throw you, that can be the part that's really crushing to the soul. But, you know, I think we've been doing it long enough that we just hopefully instantly recover.
Do you think doing that makes you a better scripted actor as well?
I think it really does. I think it does. It makes you more natural. Like the style that we play, even though it's a very, in a lot of ways, very broad, and it's very slapstick in a lot of ways. It's also, there's some very real and intense and hopefully well acted moments. And you know, we're doing a scripted show. Another show we're doing is a scripted show, and all kinds of things that we've been doing, Baby Wants Candy, we bring into that as well.
When a show is so successful and then it goes into a mode of repetition, do you ever just question, right, it's time to stop now, or is this going to be going in 100 years' time?
Yeah, it would be great to be going 100 years' time, but we all do other projects in the States, so this is, you know, this is one of our main things, but this is not our main thing. So I for example, I live in Los Angeles. I'm an actor there and a writer there, and so do a lot of scripted things there. But the same for other people in the group. They perform off Broadway or on Broadway, or they'll perform in other TV shows and other films. But what's fun to come back to this is it is because it's fresh every night. It almost feels like one of those things that you can do for a long, long time. We actually originally, years and years ago, when we first came to Fringe, we were going to come to Fringe and hopefully have a good run and then break the group up, just sort of our swan song. We're like, you know, this would be a great high to go out on. But the show was very well responded, what's the word, very well received, that's it, very well received. And because of that, we decided to stay together. And so we credit Fringe to actually staying together in a way.
Tell us about the second show.
So the second show is called Thrones the Musical. It's a parody of Game of Thrones. We're all big nerds. We love Game of Thrones. We love the show. We love the books. And so we thought it would be fun to do a parody of that. And that's the show we're doing as well.
I mean, I guess something I've noticed is most of the text that I'm looking at are reading Game of Thrones at the back of theatre venues. It is very successful. Now, that particular idea, is that improvised as well?
No, that's a totally scripted show. Scripted, yeah.
Okay, so where did the idea for that come from?
We got asked a couple of years ago to do a parody of 50 Shades of Grey, so we did a musical parody of that. We thought, we thought that would be just a one-off, or that would be a very short-run show. But that took a lot of success. That took on a big life of its own, and so it was a couple of years ago. It toured a lot of places. It's still running in Vegas, actually, and around the world. And so we thought, well, 50 Shades of Grey was not something, if we hadn't been asked to do it, we might not necessarily do it, but what would be something that we would like to do? And we all loved Game of Thrones, and the Assembly said, do you have another show? And we said, yeah, we'd love to do a parody of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I mean, if Sunshine with Smiles, the sun's just come out all over your face. You clearly love doing this one.
I do really love it. It's such a... Game of Thrones is so near and dear to so many of our hearts, and the show itself is really fun and ridiculous, and I love the music in it. It's a very fun show to do.
And did someone just sit down and write that, or was that... did you kind of improvise to create it?
Yeah, we did kind of both. So we had the writing team of four, so three of writers for the book part of it, and then we have one MD who would the composer. And it was very collaborative. So we would meet in Los Angeles, and one of the Baby Wants Candy guys came out to Los Angeles and sat. We would be sitting in a room, a writer's room, and then we would go off and write on our own, and then we'd rehearse some of the stuff and improvise around it. But yeah.
Now, we all know the precious writer of Game of Thrones is very precious about his work. So what do you think? I don't know whether he has seen it. What would he say if he came and sat in the back?
I actually think he would love it. There's a great clip that I just saw recently of on Conan O'Brien. Conan O'Brien is a talk show host in the States. And, you know, everyone's pushing George R. R. Martin to finish the damn books, you know, before something bad happens to him. And they just, Conan O'Brien's like, well, let's take a look at his, we tapped into his home security cameras, and, you know, George R. R. Martin's just sitting around playing the bongos. He's jumping up and down on his trampoline naked. He's diving into the pool naked. So he was, I think he's a really funny guy, and I think he would really love the show. And we do a big homage to him at the very end of the show.
So scripted, unscripted, but all worth seeing. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much.